Hey guys, welcome to this catch-up. It's thanks to Prezi. Prezi lets you send digital gift cards from major retailers instantly in just seconds. If you buy any gift card today at digitalgiftcards.com.au, you could win a $250 gift card. Permit number LTPM160177.
Nothing beats the summer of cricket. The tension, the drama, the buzz, and other cliches. But this summer, Triple M takes Test cricket down a new path. The path of FM radio. To say we're excited at the M's is an understatement.
There's plenty of movement from middle stuff.
Now, live from Cricket HQ with the Triple MCG. Wearing the bone, the cream, the beige, the ivory is a dip of the hat to the grace. On Triple M, this is Willow Talk.
Week two of Willow Talk, and just 3 days until Triple M finally makes its debut calling Test cricket. And look who has joined us today, the star of the show, Kerry O'Keefe. Hello to you once again.
Hello to you, Dan. Great to be with you, mate.
And great reaction. Thank you for last week. Great reaction to you being on the show.
Oh, was it?
We got you for the full hour.
Oh, I'm pleased to be here, mate.
So we got a lot. We got plenty of emailers, plenty of people want to know. They want to know about you, Kerry, the real you.
Do they? There's not much to know, you know. They say they wanted to write Richie Beno's autobiography, but he said there's nothing much there. And I'm a little bit the same way.
Well, on that positive note.
People think I'm deep, but I'm actually as shallow as a tear.
Something that we must acknowledge.
Is?
Shane Warne at Coldplay. Now, this won't take long, so no. Can we just play this?
Go.
Solo. Warney's got the harmonica.
Okay, thank you so much, Shane. You'll get a letter from us in the week telling you if you've made it.
So he gets up on stage.
Yeah. Well, he had them at his house for a barbecue the day before.
How good's that?
So he's been a mate of Chris Martin's for a long time. So
that's right. He was on the, remember that Warney talk show?
Yeah.
I remember he was on there.
Very close to Chris Martin, who obviously is a cricket fan. And that's why Warney was on stage.
What is it? This is the theme of the first week of the show. What is it about musicians and cricket? It's just like the two go hand in hand.
Oh, well, I mean, in 1980, I was at Lord's in Father Time Bar, and Mick Jagger was in the bar, and his mate said he'd like to meet me. And I went, I'm retired. He said, yeah, but he watched you bowl leg spinners in 77. So eventually I was pointing up with Mick Jagger, and he said to me, it's great to meet you. I'm injured. Would you like to play for my village team tomorrow? I'll send a car. And I thought, oh, I'd love to, Mick. Yeah. And I went and played. And he and Jerry Hall turned up and put a blanket on the cover boundary and drank Perrier water and ate salad. And I kept chasing the ball out.
Yes.
I threw it back and met Jerry Hall, and we had tea together.
Oh, how good is
this? And he said to me, Kerry, thank you very much for filling in. Would you like to come to a party tonight at my mansion? And I had to go to a MCC dinner. It was mandatory because we were all over there to celebrate the centenary test in England. And it was an absolute must on the tour. So I had a choice between a party at Mick Jagger's or sitting next to some stuffed shirt. And I said, Mick, I'm already booked.
Gary, you put half an hour into the MCC thing.
I know.
You claim you've got food poisoning.
Oh, and yeah. That would have been the way out, wouldn't it? Because he sent a roller to pick me up for the cricket. He just sent a car. But I may have ended up in the pool the next morning. It could have got ugly.
Good bloke.
Fantastic guy. And I met his dad, and he's a Surrey member. He went to the Oval every week. And then we went up to Robert Sangster's. He'd booked a suite at Lord's.
Yeah.
And within 10 minutes of us, me, Robert Sangster and Mick Jagger arriving, the phone rang. And it was the MCC. And they said, there's a disreputable person in the box, Mr. Sangster. We'd like you to ask him to leave. And everybody thought it was me. But it was Mick, because he'd had that conviction for marijuana possession. So Sangster didn't want to compromise his box rental. Yeah. So he asked Mick, you know, I'm sorry, Mick, that they have asked. And said, oh, and they said, Kerry, what are you going to do? I said, well, if Mick's out, I'm out. So we went back into the Father Time bar and drank pints for the rest of the afternoon.
Oh, how good's that?
Oh, I just thought I'd throw that in.
I love it. This is Willow Talk on Triple M.
Everything cricket. Triple M's Willow Talk. The station that's always positioned at silly mid-on.
And boy, was that something to behold.
Triple M.
Superb performance, that.
This is Willow Talk.
Willow Talk. On this Monday afternoon here on Triple M. By the way, on Thursday, we are on air. Now, I've got to get these times right here because we're going across the country right now, but the test starts 1 o'clock Queensland time, and we're on half an hour before the first ball, which means New South Wales and Victoria, we're on at 1:30. Queensland, we're on at 12:30. South Australia, we're on at 1 o'clock. So now that we've confused everyone, let's get back to the show with you, Kerry O'Keefe. And I wish... all those Mick Jagger stories you told in the break. I wish we could just spend the whole show just telling stories.
I'll filter them out over the summer.
I was going to say, Dan. I would suggest to our play-by-play guys, there's something to mine there. Friday night, a meaningless game in the sense it was a dead rubber of a series that's been dropped into the middle of a summer. I was thinking, if Dave Warner produces what he did in a World Cup game, it'd be one of the all-time great innings, what he did compared to the rest of the game. He scored 156 out of 264 and New Zealand 144. He scored something like 38% of the entire runs for the entire match. It was an incredible knock in a forgettable game.
And that's the thing about David Warner. You know, we're only 2016. There's 84 years to go. He's a lock for team of the 21st century. There are 84 years of young openers trying to get his spot, and they're not going to get it because I saw him as a 16-year-old, and they said, and he was facing fast bowlers without a helmet in the SCG indoor nets, as brave as all get out, but with a tight technique. And people said, oh, when he emerged as that T20 slogger, said, oh, he's just a slogger. I said, no, he's not. And his management fought to play for New South Wales in Sheffield Shield Cricket. So, oh, no, he's just a hitter. He was far from that.
That's what I remember. Didn't they threaten to take him to another state if he didn't get game time with the Blues?
They were taking him elsewhere because unless you play him somewhere, and they said, well, we'll play him at six. Well, he's an opener because he puts the issue out of the opposition very quickly as an opener. And they said, oh, we'll start him at six. And eventually, of course, he opened and the rest is history. But the fact that he fought against this perception that he was just this cross-battered hoiker really hurt him and his management. But as has come to pass, he is the big wicket in any form for Australia. He'll be the big wicket for the Pakistanis on Thursday. And again, the New Zealanders just didn't have the Yorker. They didn't have the pace. And he got on a good pitch and he just marmalised them.
And what was that, 7 one-day centuries this year?
Yeah.
Only Tendulkar has more, and he played a whole bunch more games in the year that he had 32 innings for his 9 and Warner something like 23 or 24 for his 7.
And if you look at his technique, mate, he stays inside the ball, but if they try and cramp him on his middle and leg stump, it's just runs. Yet he smacks them through point for fun. The thing is, he's got rhythm like Tendulkar. And that when they get to 30 not out, there's a rhythm to their innings. The fours come, then the six comes, but then a two will come. And that's a beautiful thing about Dave Warner. Although he's powerful, he has rhythm. And that's why he plays these long innings. It's not dot, 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 six, dot, dot, four. There's ones, there's twos, there's the boundaries, there's the odd six. And that's why he has a place in all three forms.
Back page of the paper today in the News Limited papers talking about Mickey Arthur. I mean, this is the thing that won't go away. And
yes.
Mitchell Stark pointing the finger, you're taking the Mickey. Of course, Mickey was homework gate.
Yes.
It feels like we're pumping this up a little to pump up a series, but there's some scars there, aren't there, Kerry, from that situation a few years ago?
And look... Mitchell Stark was one that didn't seem to find favour in that he was only there for a little while before Mickey Arthur was asked to move on, but he didn't seem to find favour under Mickey Arthur. He dropped him a couple of times. He left him out of squads.
Mm.
So I can understand Mitch Stark saying, yeah, this is going to be payback. Mickey Arthur, first overseas coach to coach Australia. South African, nice guy apparently, but the struggle for Mickey Arthur was, and his results weren't terrible. He had that tour of India, of course, but he needed a captain like Graham Smith, who he'd had at South Africa, to control the dressing room. He had Michael Clarke, and although they had a good relationship, Michael Clarke was mainly interested in the cricket side, and he said to Mickey, "You do the dressing room, Mick." He said, "No, can you do the dressing room? I want to do the cricket." So they saw each other's role differently. And of course, as it came to pass, Mickey couldn't do the dressing room.
What does that mean, do the dressing room?
It means breed the culture that wins from that room. And he had it at South Africa. He just couldn't get across the Shane Watsons and the Warners in the Australian dressing room. And it cost him. He regretted that he didn't have more impact on the dressing room. Lehman was preferred because that is his baby, the dressing room culture.
Mm.
They all tell a joke before the start of training. It's beers rather than mineral water at the end of the test. Lehman is all about that culture, the traditional culture of an Australian cricket dressing room, whereas he came from another side, Mickey Arthur, and he paid a price because I thought he was doing an okay job, but...
His results, I don't think, were that bad.
They weren't. But of course he just couldn't get the room. So he gave them homework gate, and those that weren't enamored of his style anyway, the Watsons, the Mitchell Johnsons didn't do the homework. And of course he then, even though the suspension was really Michael Clarke's driving, Mickey Arthur went along with it.
Mm.
So, he paid a heavy price, but then of course he was dismissed unfairly. And
he won the case, didn't he?
He won the case strongly. He went to very strong workplace lawyers, and he did very well. And I think there's a hint of resentment there. But having said that, he's probably got greater control over the Pakistan dressing room than he had over the Australian. And he has a captain who is much respected within that dressing room, Ms. Barul Haque. Of the 10 international cricket captains, if they seed them in popularity amongst fellow players, Ms. Barul Haque is number one. He's revered by those that play with him and deeply respected by those that play against him. He's 42 years of age, but Mickey Arthur has the captain he wants. That's why they're dangerous, Pakistan. They're brilliant. They're erratic. They can be bowled out in a session, but they can also get 500. And Mickey Arthur, he can weave that together. They can be very dangerous, this series.
There is going to be an assumption that, New Zealand cleaned them up and, yes, they were number one 3 months ago, but really once they come to our shores, they're not going to have anything. You're saying, no, beware this team.
Very much so. They have a pace attack to beat us because they didn't get bounce in New Zealand. They got seam. They're better if they get bounce, and they have Mohammad Amir and Wahab Riaz. They get nicks, and we know if the ball moves and bounces, we nick it. And they have in those two fast bowlers that can win the series for them. Mohammad Amir, as we know, outstanding left arm paceman, and Wahab Riaz at 31 gets more nicks than a Greek wedding.
I've just been handed a sheet of paper. We've got Brisbane Heat player Chris Lynn joining us, but also the Prime Minister is going to call in.
Oh, great.
Is this the pool you have?
From Rose Bay? No?
I don't know. It just says here, the Chris PM. Coming up, the Chris Lynn and the Prime Minister calls in.
Well, I can't wait for
that. And we've got an email segment here, Kerry, with a couple of curly ones for you.
Okay. Look forward to that. But it gives us great gravitas to have the Prime Minister on the show. Has he ever been on Willow Talk before?
No, I think it's a Willow Talk first.
Well, let's promote the crap out of that one.
This is Willow Talk here on Triple M.
The station that's always positioned at silly mid-on.
And boy, was that something to behold.
Triple M.
Superb performance, that.
This is Willow Talk.
Okay, then a quick roll call.
This summer,
out.
The M's Rock Test Cricket.
Yep.
Welcome to Triple M's...
Marvellous effort, that.
Willow Talk.
Willow Talk here on a Monday on Triple M. Kerry O'Keefe. With myself, Dan Ganane, Chris Lynn from the Brisbane Heat, and the Prime Minister, all coming up in the next half hour. It's a quality half hour on the way.
Gravitas.
Can we get to some emails? This is my favourite part of the show, Kerry.
Okay.
Because we find out more about our guest hosts.
Okay.
And this one comes from Ringwood, from Josh in Melbourne. Kerry, you're so quick-witted. Surely you must have been a good sledger.
I didn't say much at all. And that's the honest truth. I was too intense as a player. A number of regrets from my career. One of them is that I didn't relax, and I didn't say much. I didn't have much to say. Rob Marsh used to say to me, "Come on out. Why go up to your room and bash yourself up because you got none for 120?" And I'd say, "I'll bash myself up if I want to." And he'd say, "Come out with us." And I said, "No, I can't." And lots of greats, Walters, Marsh, tried to get me out. But they were assured of their position in the side the next game. I was never that assured. I was a match-to-match proposition. So I wish I'd gone out more. That's my great regret.
Were you only like this as an Australian cricketer? Because I imagine for your state, more often than not, you're assured of a spot. So was it just this sort of stonewalling personality came out?
No, it was throughout my career, Dan. That was the problem. I played 13 seasons for New South Wales in Sheffield Shield cricket. How many Sheffield Shields did I win? Zero. We were the biggest underperforming team from late 60s to the early 80s in Australia. And yet we had six or seven Australian representatives in virtually every game we played. We just didn't win.
Mm.
And it just tore my heart apart that every time we toured, we got beaten. And we went on interstate tours. So I never quite relaxed. The only time I relaxed was when I took up commentary. It's funny, isn't it?
It's like Bill, almost like Bill Laurie, although I'm not sure he was that intense.
Oh, he was.
Yeah.
Oh, and Bill Laurie was my first captain, and he never laughed. He never had a joke.
Yeah.
And yet in commentary, he became this whimsical, quirky figure. Yet all those that played, he played grimly. He played with no real humor. He played to win. And the fact that he's now seen as this comic genius has all come through commentary rather than the way he played the game.
Yeah. Now, this is not an email, but I just thought of this while you were talking about playing in the 70s. You were part of World Series Cricket, weren't you?
Late 70s, I joined World Series Cricket, yeah.
What was that experience like?
It was good. I played on the country tour mainly. I played for the Cavaliers. We were captained by South African Eddie Barlow, and we were a combination of all the countries that played. So I was playing with West Indians, who weren't good enough to make the West Indian team.
Right.
And we toured up country Australia, up North Queensland, Mackay, Cairns, Townsville, Rockhampton, Gladstone. I played in all those centres. We played in Dubbo, Maitland, Albury.
I bet you had massive crowds at all these venues.
A lot of interest.
Yeah.
And it was the highest quality cricket I played. But bowling to people like Viv Richards at the Tamworth number one sports ground.
What an image.
Was a problem. I mean, it was tough. I remember one day I was bowling to Vivian at Tamworth. It was about 42 degrees, and I came on from the swimming pool end, which is outside the ground. And in my first over, Viv hit two into the pool. Whereupon the lifesaver blew his whistle and ordered every child to get out of the pool. And they stood against a mesh fence sledging me. And then when I finished my over, he blew the whistle and said, "Quick, have a quick swim." And then the bloke pulled the over from the other end, and it came and I came on again. He blew the whistle, "Get out of the pool, he's still bowling." Which is just as well, because Viv hit two more into the pool. So they were my reflections on World Series cricket, where I just played up country cricket and got hit into swimming pools. I got at Rockhampton. We played next to the race course, and Clive Lloyd hit me so far they had to stop a barrier trial from starting because the race course was next door. It's a true story. What's this red thing?
This is Willow Talk on Triple M.
Okay, then a quick roll call.
This summer, the M's Rock Test Cricket.
Yep.
Welcome to Triple M's.
Marvelous effort, that.
Willow Talk.
Heat, hurricanes,
sixes,
torches,
thunder,
stars,
strikers,
renegades. This is the Triple M Willow Talk.
Gotcha!
BBL Player Probe.
Triple M, this is Willow Talk here with Kerry O'Keefe. Joining myself, Dan Ganane, and we have a special guest as we look ahead not only to the Test Series, which we're about to call, but the Big Bash. is almost upon us. Before we speak to our special guest, where do you think Kerry the Big Bash is at? Because it seems to grow and grow and grow year on year. Do you see a peak coming anytime soon?
I think all things like this do peak, but who would put a peak on it? I mean, it's just the numbers are going to go through the roof again. The TV ratings are going to be astronomical. This is a juggernaut, and unless you're on board, you're back in the pack.
We know it's going to start to develop rivalries, history, traditions. Mm. That's, you know, anything that's new doesn't have those things. The longer this goes on, the more that develops, and then it sort of becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Oh, we see it here in Sydney. You're either a Sydney Sixer or a Sydney Thunder, and already there are the camps are very much divided. So, and that'll be the same with every team. And those that are promoting memberships are very strong about getting people to the games, and they're going to turn up because ticket pricing is reasonable as against what you have to pay to go to a test match. That they've cornered the market. It's in school holiday time, lots of kids, and it's fun, and there's a tremendous amount of skill involved.
And speaking of skill, this man was the leading run scorer last year in the Big Bash. He is a star. He's from the Brisbane Heat. Chris Lynn is on the line. Hello, Chris.
G'day, lads. How are we?
Well, Chris. How are you, mate? How's your injury situation? You've had problems, knees, shoulders. Are you good to go?
Yeah, the body's feeling really good. So I haven't played any cricket as such yet, but we've got a big week of trial games coming up and plenty of centre wicket scenarios. So, yeah, mate, I'll be good to go come December 21st.
You're $7.50 to get the most runs again this year. There's a punning element in Australia. I'm on you, Chris. You hit it into the next postcode.
I think I was 23 last year, so
yeah,
a couple of boys made a bit of cash. But no, it's as you were saying before, it's such a good product, and with the free to air Channel 10 jumping on board, it's just gone from strength to strength each year. So. Again, another exciting season and an exciting time of the year as well.
And, Kerry, let me ask you, you mentioned Channel 10. How important is it that we have now a second broadcaster? You know, Nine do their thing and do it very well, but 10 do it differently.
They do, and that's its charm, the fact that Channel 9 are Test cricket, the 10 network, a Big Bash, and that's why people are listening in their tens of thousands and watching, and more power to it. Mate, the Brisbane Heat have been a little disappointing. Last year again, sixth, I think. Where can you turn it around this year? You've got Brendan McCullum. You've got Samuel Badry, this outstanding West Indian leg spinner, back. Can you get the poles you need to figure at the end of the competition?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's not the end of the competition we're worried about. It's more the start. Traditionally, over the last sort of 3-4 years, we've been slow out of the block. So for us, that's a big key point for us this year. We've just been a bit slow getting our bowlers to find the right routines, I guess, because winning games early makes it so much more easy leading into the business part of the tournament, which unfortunately we haven't been a part of the last couple of years.
You play for the Kolkata Knight Riders as well. What is the experience of being an IPL player like?
Yeah, look, it's obviously a great experience as a younger player coming through. I've only played 4 games in about 4 years just due to the rules of the overseas players.
Mm.
So for me, it's all about getting used to the conditions when I can in practice. And for me, obviously, I've got to work on my batting against spin bowling. So I'll go over there and just try and really nail that aspect of my game. And, you know, it's been, you know, exciting to play with those players that are involved in the tournament. If I can get an opportunity this or next year, hopefully I can grab it with both hands.
So they're cricket nuts, obviously. We know this. Are you recognised? I mean, one game a year, you're not exactly a household name. But still, when you walk down the street, are you recognised there?
Yeah, you don't really walk down too many streets over there. But it's, they do love their cricket. They're mad. I guess they probably know my stats better than what I do. So it's a different kind of cricket. To get over there, experience the crowd, it's something different to the Big Bash. Obviously, they pack out every game, wherever Dhoni or Tendulkar and those type of players go. It's a whole new ball game. So, for me, I said I'd just soak it up and embrace their culture. I think you have to embrace it, otherwise it can be a long 8 weeks over there.
Chris, you've played for a number of T20 franchises. You're only 26 years of age, a first-class batting average of 44. Could you see yourself as number six in a test team?
I think that's probably a little bit way off at the moment. I haven't played any. Well, I played 5 Shield games in the last 12 months, so I guess, as they say, one game at a time. I've just got to get back out there and play the red ball game. I've obviously had more opportunity playing in the shorter formats, and I really enjoy the T20 format, but I think with the opportunities coming up, I don't know, there might be a decision around the corner, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
And you've got Brendan McCullum in the passenger seat. As a New Zealander, do you expect him to give you petrol money at the end of the trip?
It'd be nice, wouldn't it? Especially with his contract.
Hang on, can you put him on?
You're on speaker. I've been listening to you lot bloody ramble on for a while, actually.
Brendan, looking forward to your season with the Heat?
Yeah, it should be good fun. I'm looking forward to this afternoon at the moment, though. Trying to take some money off money on the golf course. But it should be a great experience. I think we've picked up some good players over the off season, and already it seems to be quite a nice feel within the group. So let's see what happens. You can't guarantee success, but we should give as good as what we get throughout this year anyway.
Is Sam Heaslett one of the most promising cricketers in Queensland or Australia for that matter?
Yeah, he is, mate. He's he had a good A tour throughout the winter. Hasn't scored probably as many runs as he would have liked in the past couple of Shield games, but we saw glimpses of him last year, and I think once he gets his opportunity, he works as hard as anyone. He's probably he's a little bit of a different cat, but you know, as cricketers, there's a few in those change rooms. So he's mate, I'm really looking forward to watching him bat because, as you said, he is a talent, and he's a left-hander, which we need in our middle order.
You're $7.50 to get most runs in the Big Bash. Brendan McCullum is fourth favourite. If you two are batting together, can we expect a run out?
What's fourth favourite, mate?
Kerry, you've mentioned betting three times in the first 25 minutes. You're going to fit right in here at Triple M.
And I want people to bet responsibly.
Fellas, thank you very much. Good luck, Chris Lynn. Thank you for your time. And Brendan McCullum as well. Mate, have a great season, boys.
Thanks, gents. Appreciate it.
Good luck to both of you.
And remember, Big Bash starts on the 20th. So it's just after the Gabba test. So we had the women play over the weekend. Geez, they got some good television numbers. And now the Big Bash starts next week. This is Willow Talkie on Triple M.
Okay, then a quick roll call.
This summer, the M's Rock Test Cricket.
Yep.
Welcome to Triple M's.
Marvellous effort, that.
Willow Talk. The station that's always positioned at silly mid-on.
And boy, was that something to behold.
Triple M.
Superb performance, that.
This is Willow Talk.
Triple M, Willow Talk. Don't forget, Thursday it begins. Kerry O'Keefe leading the cast of Superstars, Australia versus Pakistan. And Kerry, I mean, in your distinguished career, primarily at the ABC, you've had the chance to speak to many a prime minister, haven't you?
Oh, I have. John Howard, off-spinner. Mechanically the best off-spinning prime minister we've ever had.
I heard you say this.
No good with the tennis ball, as we saw.
Yeah, he paid the price for that ball in, was it Pakistan?
Pakistan. Bob Hawke hooks off the front foot, so vulnerable to the bouncer. Kim Beazley walks after the shot. You know, his girth used to just, he never balanced at contact.
So not a good, footwork wasn't there.
Kevin Rudd, wicketkeeper for Nambour Thirds, hopeless apparently. And Julia Gillard, no known form.
Keep safe, as it would say in the form guide. Well, this is very, very special for us here because for the first time on Willow Talk, we have a sitting Prime Minister on the show. Malcolm Turnbull, welcome.
Good morning. Good afternoon to Dan, and hello to you, Skull.
Prime Minister.
What a privilege it is to be on Willow Talk. Maybe we can do a late night version and call it Pillow Talk. All of us in bed together, just rolling around. I'm feeling quite light at the moment, of course, because Parliament's out, and so I'll make some jokes. But I'm looking forward to joining the Triple M commentary team. It starts Thursday in Brisbane, and I'll be right there with you guys. Not the whole way. I've still got preparations for Christmas to go.
Well, this is an unbelievable coup that we would have a Prime Minister join us in commentary. Why?
Well, Why not? I'll tell you why, because I'm about as popular as the guy in accounts that puts his used wirefronts in the Kris Kringle at the moment. I need something to pump up my tars, as they would say, in cricketing circles, and Tit Shorten's closing in on me, and I need to look like a regular guy, which is very difficult to do when you live in a $50 million Italianate palazzo in Point Piper. So I just want to get the common touch, and I know nothing about cricket, but I'm looking forward to learning. I tell you what, Skull, with a name like, with a nickname like that, you could get into politics. I mean, seriously. It's called Peter Dutton, Mr. Potato Head, Julie Bishop, the Grimace. I'm friends with Teeth Beatty too, and of course, Tit Shorten. Everyone needs a nickname.
And, mate, I know you haven't got a depth of knowledge of the game, but from your observation, who has been your favourite cricketer?
Well, my favourite cricketer, because I like pronouncing all of the letters in all of the words, is Usman Khawaja. It just feels good to say it, doesn't it? It feels good in the mouth. And I'm going to enjoy some of these Pakistani chaps too. Mohammad Amir. I mean, Uzdak Shafiq. It's wonderful stuff. Iftikhar Ahmed. I'm really looking forward to familiarising myself with the whole Pakistani team. And I'm a great fan of the subcontinent area, India, Pakistan, and Afghanistan. It's a fascinating place to go. Of course, I don't holiday there. I holiday in Paris. But I don't mind flying over it and having a look out the window just before the Bolly and the Valium kick in and I go off no-no. So you'll have to tell me, you know, what deep extra cover is and point and the gully and all that. I've heard it many times. I like listening to the cricket. It's quite relaxing. But I'm no John Winston Howard. I heard you mention him in the introduction. You know, I'm not a guy that sits up in bed reading Wisden with half a mongrel. I'm working a bit blue, aren't I?
No, not at all.
Fitting in right here on Triple M. Prime Minister, I mean, you mentioned you're looking forward to doing this before getting ready for Christmas. How are preparations going for Christmas?
Well, it's a busy time of year. I've wound up the parliamentary year. I'll be making some more announcements and appearances, of course, before the time's up. But we're just focusing on Christmas Day now. I'm having the yacht descaled so we can just glide through the water on Christmas Day. And Lucy's hiring the staff. We like to get out there and just enjoy some lobster and Atlantic salmon and make a real day of it. If I reflect on the ordinary Australians sweltering under their pergolas or what have you. I don't know how most people celebrate. With a chicken from Woolies.
Malcolm, to those that say you've been a gross disappointment, what's your retort?
Well, I'm a convivial acceptor of criticism, but to those people I say, it's not easy. I thought it was going to be a walk in the park, but I didn't expect to be this hated. And, well, listen, I'm really only doing it as a hobby. I'm independently wealthy, and I thought it'd just be a bit of a doddle. I'll give it my best shot in 2017, and if I haven't made inroads by June, I'm just going to throw my hands up in the air and walk away, maybe get a job at the UN. I tell you what, Ruddy would be dark on me then, wouldn't he? Ooh, he'd come for me, the old earwax eater himself. They're a bunch of communists. They are. They want your money, the Labor Party. That's all they want to do, just to hold a gun to your head and take all your money. So you can choose me or you can choose tits. It's up to you guys.
Well, that took an odd turn.
Well, I'm a politician after all, so I've got to get stuck in. You know, I don't mind, you know, hefting the metaphorical willow myself.
Prime Minister, it has been an absolute pleasure, and let's hope that this Thursday or this test is going to be one of the perks of the job before you chuck it in next year. You're going to bring your friend Lawrence Mooney along, I know that. And
absolutely, my driver, Lawrence Mooney, he'll be coming along to make some wry observations. I think he's a little bit of a pinko himself, but not a bad guy. And just before I go, I'd just like to say that Triple M rocks the first test in Brisbane, so be there.
Thank you, Prime Minister.
Thank you, PM.
Thank you, guys.
We are just about done. Kerry, I think I see you on Wednesday before we do one final show. All of us are going to be in together, and then it's off to the Gabba on Thursday.
Looking forward to that, mate.
Willow Talk on Triple M. More tomorrow.
The
station that's always positioned at silly mid-on.
And, boy, was that something to behold.
Triple M.
Superb performance, that.
This is Willow Talk.
Guys, thanks for joining us on this catch-up. It's thanks to Prezi Digital Gift Cards. This will become your festive season lifesaver. It makes it easy to buy for everyone on your list. So with Prezi, what you do, you buy a digital gift card. Major retailers are all there. Meijer, David Jones, JB Hi-Fi and more. So with these digital gift cards, you can have them sent instantly, straight to your friend's phone, or you can have them scheduled for later on. Great idea. So when you buy any gift card today at digitalgiftcards.com.au, you might win yourself an extra gift card worth $250. 10 of those to give away. digitalgiftcards.com.au. Permit number LTPM 160 1177.